Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody, another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're glad that you're here, and yes, we are here live tonight. So for those who celebrate, Happy New Year. We hope that you enjoyed the holiday this past week, and of course the week before was Labor Day, so we were on tape both of those weeks, but we are live. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time and really have not found the perfect guest until this evening. We're going to talk about dermatology. We're going to talk about skin cancer. Dr. Louis Caminester is here. He's been in practice for 36 years in the area, and there's very little that he has not seen or done, and we're going to talk to him in just a moment or so. If you're listening on 95.9 and you're in the Palm Beaches on 95 or the Turnpike, please be careful. Same is true if you're on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. If you're on your way home, drive carefully. Listen, but don't drive off the road if we say something funny. I want to wish for those who have family or friends up in North Carolina, South Carolina, I hope they have not been affected by the hurricane. Most of the people I know in that area have fared very well, and for that, I am grateful. Before I get to my guest, I want to give you a heads up about a couple of upcoming shows, which I think you will find very interesting. Next week, Philip Blatt will be here, and he is from Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, specializing in physical therapy. I've never done a show on physical therapy. I'm very, very excited about doing that. His specialty is in the world of neurological physical therapy. So for those who are dealing with somebody in the family who may or may not have had a stroke, you're especially going to want to listen. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about open enrollment, the difference between Medicare, managed care, Medicaid. Desiree Mearns is going to be here. She's an expert on this. Open enrollment is a period between October 15th and December 7th where you can make your Medicare selections. It's a very, very important show. There are lots of changes this year, and we need to keep you informed, and we will, when Desiree Mearns from the Area Agency on Aging, representing SHINE. SHINE is a euphemism for serving the health insurance needs of the elderly. It's going to be a great show in 2 weeks. But what I'm really excited to tell you about is I have confirmation that Lauren Baer is going to be on the show. She will be here on October 22nd, and we're very excited to have her. I have reached out to Brian Mast's organization to offer them an opportunity to be on our show sometime before Election Day. I have not heard from them yet, but Lauren Baer's campaign has committed, and they will be here on the 22nd. So we're looking forward. On that same show will be a young woman who will be a state representative come January in the new session. She's going to be elected because she's running unopposed. It'll be a tough battle, but we think she can pull it out. Tina Polsky. She won a primary, but she is after that running unopposed. Tina Polsky, somebody I know for many years, she's going to be a great addition to our state legislature. So Lauren Baer and Tina Polsky here on October 22nd. I'm very excited about that. But you're probably here or tuned in because you want to hear from my guest. Dr. Louis Caminester earned his medical degree at the University of Pennsylvania of School of Medicine in 1971. He completed an internship in dermatology at the University of Pennsylvania Medical Center Presbyterian, followed by a residency in dermatology at the University of Miami School of Medicine. He is currently affiliated with both Jupiter Medical Center and Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. With 36 years of experience in practice, Dr. Caminester, his special experience in this area of identification and treatment of skin cancer. Dr. Caminester is renowned for his dermatologic knowledge. He has been interviewed as a representative for the American Academy of Dermatology on television shows, including CNN, to discuss skin cancer, sunscreen, and other dermatology topics. We're going to get to all of those tonight, I promise you. He is a member of the American Society of Dermatologic Surgery and the National Psoriasis Foundation. He is also a member and past president of the Palm Beach County Society for Dermatologic and Cutaneous Surgery. Dr. Caminesta strives to provide the best skin care available to all of his patients. So, Dr. Caminesta, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I think, Dr. Caminesta, for those of us living in Florida, we typically here have a greater awareness of the importance of their skin condition and the need for what we should or shouldn't do. But why don't we start at the beginning? What does the practice of dermatology entail?
Well, dermatologists are specialized in being experts in skin, hair, and nails. After 4 years of medical school, a year of internship, and 3 years of residency, and after passing the boards, we should be experts in diseases of the skin, hair, and nails. That includes rashes, skin cancers, growths on the skin, and many diseases that manifest themselves on the skin. There can be over 2,000 diseases that manifest themselves on the skin. Anything from syphilis to parasites and internal malignancies.
So, I find what you do to be fascinating because I think most people, one, don't appreciate its importance and how devastating lack of awareness may be. But I think the thing that particularly here in Florida that we all talk about or want to know more about is skin cancer.
Right.
And I'm a novice, and I'll obviously defer to you and ask you to explain. There are different types of skin cancer.
Right. And it's true. And in my practice, I do see a lot of skin growths. We do a lot of skin surgery. Basically, there are the three most common types of skin cancer are basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and malignant melanoma. And then there are many other less common malignancies, and that's where the benefit of a complete skin exam comes in. I was the first dermatologist who emphasized the importance of a complete skin exam, and now it's really de rigueur. It's the right thing to do. If you see a dermatologist, you should get a complete skin exam because we can identify the dangerous growths, and if we take them off early, they're easy to do. If you take them off late or if they're identified late, they can be deathly.
So let's start with the first one, basal cell. Most people don't think they think they're nothing more than, kind of like a little pimple that you take
off.
Basal cell carcinoma can.
And now I just read a recent statistic. They said that 3,000 people in the U.S. die of basal cell a year. Now, I personally have not had any patients that I know of my patients die of basal cell. However, if a basal cell carcinoma is left neglected, you can lose an eye, part of a nose, a lip, an ear, because generally basal cells work by gradually enlarging and destroying the tissue that's around it. Squamous cell carcinomas, which are very common here in South Florida, can also invade, and they have said as many as 15,000 people a year in the U.S. die. What most people worry about the most are malignant melanomas, which right. usually are pigmented, although there are amelanotic melanomas, which is ironic because malignant melanomas come from melanocytes, which are pigment cells, but sometimes you can have a melanoma which is amelanotic, and those are harder to diagnose, of course.
And what are the early warning signs of particularly melanoma, but other cancer cells?
It's actually A, B, C, D, E. Asymmetry, which means that if you draw a line in between, both sides are not equal. The border is especially true for melanomas. The border is irregular in margin and outline. The color is variegated. It's not evenly tan like a seborrheic keratosis. It's not evenly rough. It's not evenly, but it's irregular in margin and color. Diameter means that usually it's larger than a pencil eraser, but not necessarily. Depends on how skillful the dermatologist is to detect it early, because I've seen melanomas that are very small. And we also see lentigo maligna, which is an early type of melanoma, which is flat. And then it's a question of evolving. In other words, people say, well, this growth wasn't always looking like this. It used to be small, it got larger. It used to be smooth, it got rough.
So and I think that's kind of one of the questions that most people have. Should we be worried more about spots on our body that are changing or new spots?
Absolutely true. Right, right. You want to bring it to the attention of your dermatologist if there's a growth that's new or that's changed in size, shape, color, or evolving, as we said.
And how soon after we see those kind of changes, should we run to the dermatologist every time
soon,
we see that?
As soon as possible if you have one of those changes, because as we said, if you get a melanoma early, it's a 95% 5-year survival rate. If you get a melanoma late and it's metastasized, which means it's spread beyond the skin, it's only a 20% 5-year survival rate. In fact, we recently did a study. I was part of a study to determine the chances of spread in 5 years. You can do it by doing some special studies on the specimen itself. So we have more and more ways. You don't have to do a... Well, let's put it this way. There are ways to predict what your chances are for metastases. But the best thing to do is come in as early as possible if you see a change.
So if you've had one skin cancer, because, I've had a couple of
basals. If you've had one skin cancer, your chances are increased, and you have a 22% chance to have another skin cancer within 2 years.
And if, because I've had a basal and a squamous myself, as almost everybody I know has had, that doesn't necessarily translate into your next one's going to be a melanoma.
No. Right. But it does mean that you're more likely to have another skin cancer, especially if you have certain genetic predispositions, blue eyes, fair skin, redheads, and also on whether you've gotten a lot of sun exposure, because sun is the number one cause of skin cancer.
Is it hereditary? I mean, does it run in families?
Your predisposition is hereditary. In other words, a redhead is more likely than a brown-eyed person. Blacks can get skin cancer, too. It's less common, and they get it in a different place. Blacks get it on the palms, soles, and nail beds.
That's interesting.
Redheads can get it anywhere, but especially in sun-exposed areas.
So the other thing I think that people don't understand, at least I didn't, all right, is that you don't develop this cancer necessarily on the part of your skin that has been most exposed. It can show up anywhere.
It can show
body,
up
right?
anywhere, but you're more likely to have it on sun-exposed skin. Now, we're talking about basal cells and squamous cells especially. I mean, the youngest person I saw with a basal cell was a 14-year-old blonde sailor. So they took him on the sailboat since he was an infant. And he developed basal cell at 14.
Wow.
Blue-eyed, fair skin.
That's fascinating. So if we don't see any suspicious spots or nothing comes to mind, well, I guess you just answered two of my questions.
Well, it's how good an observer you are.
Yeah, right.
I'm probably a better observer than you are when it comes to skin, hair, and nails.
I have no doubt that you are because I don't pay a lot of attention. No, you're right.
But even if you pay attention, even from other doctors, I see they send the patient over with a seborrheic keratosis, which is benign. They're worried about it being a melanoma. And then I see a basal cell, which was pink, and they really didn't recognize it.
Didn't notice it. Right, right. So I was going to say... The conversation for me has always been if that it takes 20 years from exposure to develop a skin cancer, 20 years of sun exposure. Is that
It's very variable. It depends on the sensitivity. And then there's genetic predispositions, too. You know, redheads have a predisposition. They have actually a genetic defect, if you will. Depending on how red their hair is, et cetera.
Good thing there's no redhead sitting in here.
Right. No, but if there's a redhead outside listening to this, they're probably already aware that they burn and they don't tan.
Right.
I mean, my father was like that. He couldn't go out in the sun.
Right.
Because he'd get sunburn.
So, but what I was starting to ask, and we we moved off to the side a little bit. Assuming that we don't see anything, I go every 6 months. But what is the what should the average listener to my show?
I think a person,
how often should they come and see
a person at least over 50 should be seen every year. If the person has a family history of skin cancers, and especially if they have a family history of melanoma, they should start even at 25 and come in. Or if they have many moles, dysplastic nevi. Dysplastic nevi can be precursors to melanoma. And although 80% of melanomas arise de novo, which means they come without a preexisting, it's believed that 20 to 30% of melanomas arise from pre-existing benign-looking or pre-malignant growths called dysplastic nevi. That's what my dermatopathologist friend has said. That's the number one thing he sees in his practice and what we're sending, we dermatologists are sending, and they are precancers.
So when you... Well, that's interesting because one of my kids just had something taken off and they said it was precancer.
Well, there are different precancers.
So that's interesting.
That's a precancer for melanoma. The more common precancer is an actinic or solar keratosis. That's a red scaly lesion, usually on the face or sun-exposed areas. And that is a precursor to squamous cell carcinoma. So we have precursors to melanoma and we have precursors to squamous cell carcinoma. So, usually there's no precursor to basal cell. It's usually a basal cell.
So let's talk about treatments. How do you treat these?
Well, beginning with premalignance, premalignant growths, red scaly lesions on sun-exposed areas, especially face, ears, lower legs, we freeze them with liquid nitrogen. That's the most common. It's also the most common procedure that dermatologists do in South Florida,
right.
Liquid nitrogen. Either a spray or what I prefer for better penetration with a cotton-tipped applicator. For pre-malignance of dysplastic nevi, we usually cut them off, send them to the laboratory, confirm the diagnosis, and confirm the margins that they're free.
And when is somebody when do you go to Mohs surgery? I hear so much about Mohs.
Mohs surgery is actually overdone. It's overutilized and unfortunately, in my opinion, but it's well known all over the country that it's being done without actually, I mean, Mohs surgery is an excellent procedure when done with the right criteria. I actually met Fred Mohs when I was at Penn and he was not a dermatologist, he was a surgeon.
Oh, really?
And the type of Mohs surgery that's done now wasn't really what Fred Mohs did. He usually used the paste, but not to get into that. Basically, Mohs surgery should be used on the face, nose, eyelids. Its main reason is to spare skin. So if a person has a skin cancer on the eyelid, around the nose, the lips, or if it's a recurrent lesion, those are the indications for Mohs surgery. But unfortunately, I see Mohs surgery being done on the trunk, on the arms, when it could easily be saucerized off or easily cut off. But unfortunately, Mohs surgery commands a higher fee, and often that influences the treatment. It shouldn't. It should aim for the...
There's incentive to go
right,
to Mohs.
Right.
That is really interesting. So on most of the we haven't talked a lot about melanoma yet, but we will. Mm-hmm. Most of the treatments are, or all of the things that we've talked about so far, for the most part, are done in the office. Recoveries,
yes,
really right. Simple. You go home. There's really nothing to do. You keep it clean.
Correct.
Maybe a Band-Aid, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much.
Well. Probably different dermatologists have different post-operative directions. You know, some people may want it covered, some people don't want it covered.
Right.
But yes, it's an outpatient procedure.
Right. All right. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Dr. Louis Caminesta. Dr. Caminesta has been in the practice of dermatology for 36 years. If you've been listening so far, you know he clearly knows his stuff. We're going to be talking a little bit more about melanoma because that is the most deadly form of, or the most serious or deadly form of skin cancer. But we have a whole host of other things. We're going to talk about sunscreen. We're going to talk about psoriasis and eczema. If you have children or grandchildren, we're going to talk about acne. We're going to talk about brown spots, skin tags, recurring cysts. There is a whole host of things that we're going to talk about. But if you'd like to talk about what you'd like to talk about, all you have to do is give us a call. You can reach us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. Happy New Year to those who are celebrating. An easy fast this week coming up for Yom Kippur. I'm here tonight with Dr. Louis Kamenester. Dr. Kamenester is a board-certified dermatologist. He's been in practice.
North Palm Beach.
I'm going to give you the address in a minute. But we have Dr. Kamenester has been here in practice in this area for 36 years. We've been talking mostly about skin cancer so far, and we're going to talk a little bit about melanoma right now. But, of course, if anybody has any questions for Dr. Kamenester, you can call us at 877-960-9960. So we talked a lot about basal. We talked about precancer. We talked about squamous. But Dr. Kamenester, we didn't really drill down on melanoma. So I know that we talked a little bit about the early warning signs, but let's repeat those. And then what are the treatments for melanoma? Are they different than the treatments for the other conditions we were talking about?
When you have the growth itself, no. It's the primary treatment is excision, surgical excision. And if you get it early, that's the – I have hundreds of patients who have had melanoma. I haven't had any patients die in the last – at least the last 5 years that I know of. But that doesn't mean they couldn't come in tomorrow with a big – nodule,
right?
And that's the problem. People have to recognize that if they have a large pigmented growth, it may be a subarachnoidosis, completely benign, but it may be a melanoma. Better that they question a small black growth that they didn't have in a year or ago, because that's when we can take it off. And it's a surgical excision. Surgical excisions for basal cell, squamous cell, and malignant melanoma. That's the primary treatment of choice. Once you have metastasis, then you have oncologists involved and different systemic medications. But again, the treatment, even if you double the life expectancy, it's still not great.
We have made great progress, though. Is that because of early diagnosis or better treatment or a combination of both?
A combination of both, although there's still increased numbers of both, increased numbers of basal cell, squamous cell, and malignant melanoma. They're all increasing. And unfortunately, there's also something called a Merkel cell carcinoma, right, which is a sneaky kind of skin cancer. It looks like a red pimple or a smooth-surfaced pink nodule. And by the time they... it's recognized as something bad. It's often metastasized. It's treated like a nodular melanoma.
Right, and that's
and it's the kind of thing that most people wouldn't pay attention to. That's the benefit of a yearly dermatologic skin exam.
And you can't overstress how important coming to see you every year is.
Absolutely.
Do we in Florida? Because of our sun exposure, do we have a much higher rate of incidence than the rest of the country?
Yes. Florida and Texas and Hawaii have higher rates of skin cancer, basal cell, squamous cell, and melanoma. Of course, Australia has a high rate of melanoma too, very high, with a combination of sunny climate and genetically English-Irish ancestry.
Right.
So they're more susceptible. Just as my population has a higher incidence of English Irish than the general population.
So the fact that we live in Florida, so you know, I always equate things to me. I spend most of my time indoors. I go from the house to the car to the office to an appointment. I'm in the sun, but I don't really feel like I'm in the sun a lot. But the fact that we're here, we're much more exposed than
you are, and you're even exposed when you go from your car to go food shopping and back and forth, especially during the summertime and especially during the midday. If you're going to go outside, the best time to go outside is before 10 or after 4. And you can look at your shadow, and if your shadow is longer, your shadow should be longer than you.
So does somebody like me, somebody that I described, that speaks to a whole host of people who sit and play cards or uh-huh. or sit on their mm-hmm. veranda and not in the sun, should we still be applying sunscreen regularly? And
you should, and I also suggest that when you get your next physical exam and blood work, you get a vitamin D level. Vitamin D level should be above 30. You can supplement it. You know, vitamin D higher levels have been associated with less cancer of many different types, not just skin. It's questionable whether if you take vitamin D orally, you are actually reducing your susceptibility to other cancers. But you might as well take it and try it. They haven't found any negative to it, as long as you don't overdo it.
That's funny because that's a hot button topic with my a primary care physician. He's been talking a lot about vitamin D lately.
Yeah, well, if you get your level.
And he's doing supplements on it all the time.
Well, if you get your level of above 30, that should be sufficient.
That's really, that's remarkable. I didn't make the connection until you just said that. Mm-hmm. That's terrific.
Well, you need sunlight for us humans. You need sunlight to convert the precursor of vitamin D to vitamin D in your body.
Yeah. That's fascinating. So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Louis Caminester. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about dermatology. We've been talking about skin cancer. Dr. Caminester is a dermatologist in practice here for 36 years, so he really knows his stuff. He's obviously very engaging, if you've been listening. We are going to be talking about a whole host of other things. We're going to be talking about psoriasis and eczema. We're going to be talking about dermatitis, acne, and the treatments for those things. Plus, we're going to talk about sunscreen, golf, being out on the boat, et cetera, et cetera. So if you have questions for my guest, Dr. Caminester, you can call us at, oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. If you're a new listener, Oh My God talks about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We're glad that you have found us. If you're a regular listener, we're glad that you are with us. We're on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast, 95.9 here in the Palm Beaches, and we are thrilled that you are with us. My guest tonight, Dr. Louis Caminester. Dr. Caminester is a dermatologist here in North Palm Beach. While we're at it, as long as I said that, why don't we tell them how they can reach you? You want to give them your contact information?
Okay. They can reach me by 561-626-7546. That's 626-SKIN. So it makes it easy. In North Palm Beach, it's on US 1 right opposite the North Palm Beach Golf Club and Country Club.
That's terrific.
And golf course.
We're going to give you that number again if you didn't get it. But one more time, 561-626-SKIN. SKIN is 7546. Dr. Caminester, we've spent most of the show so far talking about about skin cancer, but why don't we talk about a couple of other things? What about eczema or psoriasis? I mean, there's a lot of television.
Well, they're two different things. I don't like to use the word eczema unless eczema is really atopic dermatitis, and that is a distinct entity, usually seen in children. When they're small, they get a rash behind the knees in the antecubital fossa of the arms, between the arm and the forearm, and it often goes along with allergies. Atopic dermatitis can be very vexing for a child. They're scratching, they're itching, they get secondary bacterial infection. Fortunately, it usually dissipates as they get to be a teenager, but it can be very debilitating and itchy. That should be separated from psoriasis. Psoriasis affects 2% of the U.S. population, and it can be as simple as a small red scaly patch on the elbows, or it can be, as I saw a patient today, generalized and very uncomfortable, painful, itchy, preventing him from sleep. There are side effects and characteristics of people with severe psoriasis, increased alcoholism, not being able to sleep, obesity, heart disease, all related to this severe psoriasis. So psoriasis is a significant problem. Now there are more and more treatments for psoriasis. If it's just psoriasis on the elbows or a patch on the knees and elbows, we have good topical agents. Sometimes I use an intralesional injection to calm it down. There's a great variety of topicals, both corticosteroids and non-steroidal. And then if it's very severe, then you see the TV commercials of Humira and other products. But those products, you know, have, as they show you playing ball in the sand, then they say, you know, if you haven't, if you've had viral disease, if you have an other infectious disease, could be sudden death. So there are a lot of potential, side effects. So I tend not to use those when at all possible. We have a light box. We have a light box in the office that is very effective for. We even have a laser that treats psoriasis.
You said something before that prompted a question for me. We kind of glossed over it once or twice. We've used the word rash. Rashes are abnormal. I mean, if you have a rash, there's something causing it. Rashes,
of course,
rashes don't just pop up.
Well, rashes can pop up, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah, but there's a reason. That's my point.
Right.
So that is something.
So there are all different kinds of rashes. I mean, as I said, if there are over 2,000 diseases that can manifest themselves on the skin, you can get a rash from a plant. I had a patient come in. He actually flew in to see me, well-to-do patient from Jupiter Island. He had seen several dermatologists up north, and it was a red rash on three fingers of his hand, and nobody could diagnose it. They gave him an antibiotic, and they gave him a steroid. And I said, were you squeezing limes or lemons? He said, oh, well, no. Oh, yeah, I was. In fact, I made. And so he's squeezing limes and lemons, and he had a phytophotodermatitis, which, as it happened to be focused about 2 weeks ago in the New York Times, in the magazine section. It's an unusual disease, and it's one, though, that we commonly see during the summertime. You get the lemon juice or the lime juice on the dorsum of your hands, and with sun exposure, you get this red reaction. It goes away by itself, or we can give it. So, you know, it's fun to be a dermatologist. You're like playing. It's a detective game sometimes. They can be allergic to foods, drugs, medicines. So rashes can be caused by a lot of different things. Plus, there are papulosquamous diseases, pityriasis rosea, syphilis, secondary syphilis, contact dermatitis, fungus, yeast.
All of these things.
Yeah.
So but it's not a guessing game. It's a detective story.
Right.
Right.
Because
you're
if
not
it's a guessing game, you're going to the
you're
wrong
in trouble.
Doctor. Well, that's the benefit of taking a skin biopsy too. If you have a good dermatopathologist that works with a dermatologist, that's an excellent combination.
So if you come up with a new skin rash or some kind of eruption. Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't dismiss that anymore.
No,
than
absolutely
any,
right? not. Everything. It could be early shingles.
Right.
And if you let it go, then you could be getting, in a week or so, one of the most severe and painful rashes, which is postherpetic neuralgia.
Well, I didn't even think about asking you about the shingles because there's some controversy between the old shot and the new shot. And
yeah, well, the new shot is supposed to be more effective in that you have less chance of recurrence, but you need two of them, and you can get it's a higher incidence of side effects, especially local side effects, swelling, tenderness, flu-like syndrome.
Right. It's really interesting. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. And so, well, you know what? Before we go to break, we have a caller. So why don't we take Vincent, and we'll answer his question, and then we'll take a break. Vincent, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You have a question for Dr. Kamenester?
Yes, I have a daughter that was born with linear porokeratosis.
Linear orokeratosis?
Porokeratosis.
Yes.
And the question is?
And I wondered, how she could fix it, or how we could fix it.
Well, yeah, I can't go into the diagnosis.
So, I mean, one of the problems we have is obviously can't diagnose that without having seen her.
I know that.
Yeah.
Has she seen a dermatologist?
Yes.
And is she being treated now?
Yeah, they said to wait till she gets older or something. So they could.
Well, I guess what we would say is if you call Dr. Kamenester's office and make an appointment and come in and see him, he'll be happy to give you a consultation and take a look at it and tell you what he thinks.
Whether it needs treatment.
Yeah, and he will tell you whether.
How old is the child?
She's 12 now.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So, and is it embarrassing though? Where is it located?
It goes up her arm and right up to her face. Uh-huh. And has brown spots on her hand.
It's an unusual diagnosis.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give his number again right after the break. So why don't we?
I have his number. It's good.
Okay, I think that would be best. But I appreciate you giving a call. I wish we could give you the a more definitive diagnosis, but without seeing her, obviously anything that
he
said would
be
a guess.
Depends on what it looks like too.
Right.
Okay, I could make an appointment.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, so if you have more questions like Vincent did, you can give us a call at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us here tonight with Dr. Louis Caminesta, dermatologist here in North Palm Beach, who has been in practice for a long time. He's been in practice for 36 years. If you have questions for him, you can call us at 877-960-9960. We've talked a lot tonight about skin cancer, and we talked a little bit about psoriasis and eczema, and we've interchanged some of the various subject matter that we're there that we're talking about. But I have Dr. Caminesta, I have a whole host of things I want to ask you about, and I'm not going to have time because I'm going to run out of time before I run out of questions. So let's move forward. What about recurring cysts? Is that
some people have a tendency to get cysts, and some people have a lot of cysts. Sometimes the cysts are small. We're talking about subcutaneous, smooth surface growths. They can be on your face or anywhere on the body, although they're more common in certain places. Small cysts. Some people get milia and cysts on the edges of the temple. What about cysts? Cysts can stay dormant without a problem, or they can rupture. If they rupture, they can get infected. And if they get infected, they can actually cause a septicemia. So for most cysts, we either do nothing or we can remove them, excise them completely. Right. However, if they rupture, then you have to make an incision in the center, take out the bacterially infected, smelly material, because bacteria are in the cyst, and they break down the sebum into fatty acids and glycerol, and then that smells like bad cheese. And so you can take out that. So that's why Pimple Popper TV show is so popular now.
Are skin tags a form of cysts?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Skin tags are little extrusions of skin, usually on the neck, axilla, underarms, groin. They're more common in overweight people, and there's a hereditary characteristic for it. Usually the treatment is very simple. They just get snipped off.
And they seem to disappear at times. They come and go, they seem.
They don't usually go unless they fall off, or some people tie them off with a dental floss. But no, they can easily be snipped off, and it's a lot easier than having the discomfort of trying to tie it off yourself.
Let's talk a little bit about sunscreen.
Okay.
There's a sunscreen for everybody and every budget.
Well, basically, and as you said before, I was the expert on sunscreens for CNN some years ago. Basically, you have to divide sunscreens into physical blockers and chemical agents. The chemical agents absorb the UVB and UVA, and the physical blockers block them and reflect the light. And I wrote an article about it, which people could look up. If they look up my name on the internet, Louis Kaminester sunscreens, they can probably find the article. And it emphasizes the importance of the use of physical blockers, titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. They're more durable. They don't sting your eyes if you're sweating. And recently, but periodically, people are concerned about the long-term possible negative effects of chronically using chemicals on your skin, whereas the physical blockers aren't absorbed, so they're safer.
There's a lot of talk about SPF, right? 20, 30, 40, 50. Right. Well, what do they mean, and does it matter?
Okay. SPF is the sun protective factor, and the number is a multiple of the MED, which is the minimum erythema dose. So if your minimum erythema dose means how much time you can spend outside in the sun before you get red. So assume that your minimum erythema dose is 10 minutes and your SPF is 30. So that means theoretically you can be out in the sun for 30 times 10 minutes. That's 300 minutes. However, that doesn't account for washing off, sweating off, wiping off, swimming, etc. And it also doesn't account for the fact that most people don't put sunscreen on the way they do the study. In other words, it needs a certain amount of sunscreen per square centimeter. Most people, because of the cost, etc., they don't put it on that thick. So the SPF, we recommend an SPF of 30. I recommend for my patients an SPF of 30. And I prefer a physical blocker, although some chemical blockers are good too.
So as I said, there's a one for every budget, too. So there are those sunscreens out there that are $50 a bottle and those that are $5 a bottle. You know, I'm making that up.
Right.
But you
really have to know what the ingredients are. You should know the ingredients because, Consumer Reports has, you could look up Consumer Reports on sunscreens. And there are some good sunscreens that are inexpensive and there are some... And there are some very expensive sunscreens that really don't give you that much more protection, if any.
But they come
in a nicer bottle.
That's terrific information. In the time we still have left, if you'd like to reach Dr. Kaminester, you can call us at 877-960-9960. I want to remind everybody that if you tuned in late to the show and you're sorry that you did, you wish you had tuned in earlier when we talked about skin cancers and all the things you need to know. The good news is that we podcast the show. So tomorrow it'll be up on podcast. All you have to search for is OMG. I'm getting an up we will pop. You can listen to this show or any of the other 300 shows that we've done over time. We also put it up on our website if you're not a podcaster, and many of us are not. My website is palmbeach.comfortcare.com, palmbeach.comfortcare. Comfortcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't put a T in there. If you put a T in there, I'll never see it, and you won't find us. Comfort Care has no T. If you don't have a radio, and many of us no longer do, but you do have a smartphone, you can listen to us on your smartphone by downloading the free TuneIn Radio app and just put WSVU, those are our call letters, WSVU, on TuneIn Radio at 6 o'clock every Monday night. We'll be live. And, of course, we simulcast on the web, www.trueoldiesfla.com. TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, Philip Latt will be here. Philip is with Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He's a specialist in neurological physical therapy. We're going to talk about fall prevention. 50% of all emergency room admissions for seniors are as the result of falls. We're going to talk about how you can prevent that. In 2 weeks, a returning guest. I have her every year. I have her every year because it's really, really important stuff. Desiree Mearns is going to be here, and she's from the Area Agency on Aging, the SHINE program. She runs the SHINE program, serving the health insurance needs of elders. And she's going to talk about Medicare, Part A, Part B, Part D. She's going to talk about Medicare Advantage. She's going to tell us all of the options that we have. She's going to dispel rumors and probably throw a few out there for you. But she's also going to talk about open enrollment, what you need to do, what you can do, and why you should do it. Open enrollment is upon us. October 15th through December 7th. So in 2 weeks, Desiree Mearns. And as I said, don't forget, October 22nd, Lauren Baer is going to be here, as will Tina Pulsky, who is running for state senator in much of this county. And she's going to be a great state senator. While I still have a few minutes left, Dr. Kamenester, how do people reach you? It's really important that they do.
My office is in North Palm Beach on US 1, opposite the North Palm Beach Country Club and Golf Course. The telephone number is 561-626-7546. That's 626-SKIN, S-K-I-N.
I have to say you have a terrific website, too. So for those, just look up Dr. Kamenester. You'll find his website, and it was really very helpful to me.
Thank
I spent
you.
A lot of time on Thank it. So his address is 840 U.S. Highway 1. And again, his number is 561-626-7546, SKIN. We don't really have enough time to go through a whole host of other things.
We didn't talk about acne.
We didn't talk about acne. So let's do a brief tutorial on acne, since I have a grandson who's reached that age.
Most people have some form of acne, unless you're very lucky as a teenager. We break down acne into inflammatory and non-inflammatory acne. Non-inflammatory acne are mostly blackheads, whiteheads. The inflammatory acne with the red papules, pustules, and cysts, that's the acne that causes scarring. So we want to get those patients to see the dermatologist, especially because it's not just cosmetic, but it'll leave them with permanent scars. And there's great treatment for acne, both topically and systemically.
And that's come a long way, too.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, I remember as a kid that kids who had bad acne really struggled and suffered.
Well, a lot. Even in 1975, we had treatment. We have oral agents, oral tetracyclines, minocycline, doxycycline. We have many different topical erythromycin, clindamycin, benzoyl peroxides. We have new topicals. So really there's a lot of things that can be done for acne. And I emphasize for my patients acne surgery. Again, if they go to my website, they'll see I've written articles on acne and how we treat them and acne surgery. If you remove the comedone, when it's non-inflammatory, then it never becomes inflammatory and they never get an inflammatory lesion and they don't get a scarring.
That's terrific. So I want to go back, because we only have a minute or two left. I want to go back to skin cancer, where we started tonight. What are the early warning signs? What are the things that people should be looking for? And when should they pick up the phone and call you?
Well, if you look at the Skin Cancer Foundation, or rather, you know, they say bleeding, change in growths. But these are late signs. If you see a growth that looks suspicious that you didn't have before, you should come into the dermatologist and let him look at it. He can tell you, he should be able to tell you immediately whether it's benign or malignant. If there's any question, you take a very simple biopsy. Again, I saw biopsies can be made very simply with a kind of a saucerization. They don't have to be a deep punch. You don't need to go deep. You just need a small piece of the tissue, send it off to a good dermatopathologist, and you know immediately. Although in most cases, in my practice, I already know what they have, and I usually take the skin cancer off on the first visit.
Right. You're a terrific guest. I hope I can talk you one day into coming back. I mean, you have so much wealth of information, and you talk about it in a way that we can all understand.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough for being here tonight, and I really, really do appreciate it. If you don't know who I've been talking to, I've been talking to Dr. Louis Kamenester. Dr. Kamenester is a dermatologist who's been here in North Palm Beach for a little while, merely 36 years. His address, if you would like to go see him, is at 840 U.S. Highway 1. I happen to know where that is because I have a lot of friends in those buildings right there. It's a great spot, but his phone number is 561-626-SKIN. That's 1-800-246. And I'm sure if you call the office and tell them that you heard him on the radio, they'll get you right in. Of course, if you don't mention the radio, they'll still get you right in. But anyway.
I'm getting right in.
I can't thank you enough again. I want to wish all of my listeners, again, a Happy New Year for those who are celebrating. Yom Kippur is here. I hope for those who fast that you have an easy fast. What can I say? I hope everybody has a great week. If you're a regular listener, you know that this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night on 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM on the Treasure Coast. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We mix it up. As I said, next week we're going to be talking about physical therapy. The week after, we're going to be talking about open enrollment with Medicare. If you have any ideas for shows, let us know. We'll be happy to add that to the agenda. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Caminesta. I want to wish you all a great week. Be careful. Be safe. Have a good one, and we'll see you next Monday. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. Good night, all.